You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 35, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 16, verse 35. Before we begin, I want to invite all the people who are joining me on radio or internet. Please stay tuned after my program is off the air. I'm coming right back on with an anointed prayer for America, and I want you to join me. I also invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray for the re-election of President Donald Trump and for Jesus to be the Lord of America and the Bible, the book. You're also invited to come each Sunday, 5 p.m., for the live radio broadcast. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's produce place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 16, verse 35. As the curtain comes up, we left off last time with Paul and Silas having been beaten and put into prison because they had cast out a demon out of a young girl. The young girl was a slave, and her demon gift made her much money for her masters. They got jealous and delivered Paul and Silas to the magistrates. But at Paul and Silas at midnight, prayed and praised the Lord. If you want God to move at the midnight hour, pray and praise the Lord. God shook up the prison and the doors were open and everybody's chains fell off. It was so often awesome that not one prisoner left. Everybody stood there. The jailer got saved and his house. Now, Paul and Silas did not leave.
And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go.
Okay, the magistrate say, okay, they've suffered enough, they can go now.
36. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.
The jailer was really happy. He had gotten saved and he loved Paul and Silas. And he said, you're not going to have to stay in jail anymore. Thank God you're free. Free at last.
37. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans.
Oh, Romans is the key word. You see, Paul was a seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin, a true Hebrew. But he was a Roman citizen. So was Silas a Roman citizen. Now Caesar, the king of Rome, had a law that if a Roman citizen were beaten or put into prison without a trial, the people who did it would be put to death. All this while, Paul had the trump card.
And have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily.
Now they want us to just go ahead, get out of here.
But let them come themselves and fetch us out.
Let them come here and say they are sorry and show a little respect for us as Christians.
38. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared.
The reason they were afraid because they did not know Paul and Silas were also Roman citizens, and they knew that Caesar's law said they would be put to death. Boy, they were frightened.
When they heard that they were Romans, 39, and they came and besought them and brought them out, desiring that they would depart out of the city.
With crocodile tears, they said, oh, we're so sorry we did this. Won't you just go now?
40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
Now remember last time that Paul and Silas had started a church down by the riverside in Lydia's house, so they go back there. Now the reason Paul and Silas did not leave at first was because they knew that if they left out by stealth, that those magistrates might persecute Lydia and the church there. So they were protecting Lydia and the church there. In other words, show us respect and show them respect. The shepherd always watches out for the sheep.
Amen. Amen.
Acts chapter 17, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart. All races have been slaves. All races have been slaves.
Verse 1. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica.
Now remember, Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. There's a church there. He planted it.
There was a synagogue of the Eudas.
I never use the word Jew because it's an incorrect translation. It should say Judah, meaning there, our beloved brother Judah, one of the 12 tribes.
Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
He taught the scripture, not a book about the book, not one verse and 3 points. Book, chapter, verse, and line.
3. Openly and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ.
Now, Paul knew that the brother Judah there in the synagogue knew that God was going to send a Messiah. They just did not know that Yeshua, Jesus, was that Messiah. The word Christ in the Greek is the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. The word Christ in Hebrew is Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. So he's saying, look, he died. He arose from the dead. He is the promised Messiah.
And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas.
Anytime you teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, somebody's going to get saved. So go and tell.
Amen.
Of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. 5.
Now that was the beginning of the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Greek.
Believe not.
Okay, now that Judah would be those who say they're Judah but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They give our beloved brother Judah a bad name. They are not the good ones.
Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort.
Coarse and vulgar people.
And gathered a company and set all the city into an uproar.
Any time a group of people get together to break the law and burn down businesses and burn down churches and burn down homes and kill people and shoot the police, this is the devil's crowd. They break the law. They're unruly.
And assaulted the house of Jason.
Oh, now they go into a man's house named Jason. Jason is a Christian there, and he believes in Jesus, but he was also a friend of Paul.
And sought to bring them out to the people. 6. And when they found them not,
Paul and Silas were not in Jason's house.
They drew Jason and certain of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.
They said, Paul and Silas have turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this Jason is also a friend of theirs. Now understand that Jesus did not turn the world upside down. It was already upside down. Do you know that anybody who's lost, and maybe somebody the sound of my voice, you think you're standing upright? You're upside down. And see, when you get saved, God puts you upright. That's why he calls his elect the upright ones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
7. Whom Jason hath received.
Jason is his friend. He received Jesus too, they said.
And these are contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.
Now, remember, Caesar was the king there, so they are saying, oh, they say there's another king, Jesus. Now, we know that when Jesus returns after the Antichrist, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in Jesus' first advent, he did not come to make an earthly kingdom. He came to die. That was his whole purpose. He was very successful. He died. He came to die for our sins, to rise again, so that when he comes again, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he was in no way threatening Caesar's kingdom.
8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things.
Of course, the rulers of the city were troubled because they had to obey Caesar. They said, wait a minute, is somebody saying they're a king? I mean, we've got to obey Caesar.
9. And when they had taken security of Jason,
they made Jason pay bail. I bet it was a big amount.
And of the other
people with Jason, they had to pay money.
We let them go. 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night.
Okay, get Paul and Silas out of there.
Unto Berea.
They went to Berea.
Who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Iudas.
That would be our brother Judah.
11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica.
Now, these were nicer than those others. They're not going to try to kill Paul and Silas.
In that they received the word with all readiness.
They wanted to hear the word of God. You know why? Because every person is born with a hole in your soul. And you fill it with alcohol, you fill it with drugs, you fill it with sex, you fill it with fun. You fill it with your cell phone. But the hole is that you need Jesus. He's the living word.
Amen.
And the Bible is the word of God. And that's the only thing that's going to ever fill your hole in your soul. So they are looking, oh, show us what will fill the hole in our soul, they said.
Of mind, and search the scriptures daily.
They searched the scriptures daily. Jesus said, search the scriptures, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Free at last.
Whether those things were so. 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few.
Another church planted.
13. But when the Iudas of Thessalonica.
That's the ones who say they're Judah, but are not. The synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. Revelation 3:9. Not our real beloved brother Judah.
Had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people.
There they go. What this kind of people do is always under the direction of the devil. They go from city to city, burning, looting, destroying, taking over.
14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea.
Now, this was not to get away or escape. It was just the Holy Spirit said, Paul, I've got another mission for you.
But Silas and Timotheus abode there still.
But the Holy Spirit wanted Silas and Timothy, we'll call him Timothy, to stay there at Berea because they still needed to hear more of the word.
15. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens.
Now they're in Athens. This is Greece. This is one of the most powerful world nations at that time.
And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed.
All right, the sailors that had brought Paul there to Athens by ship took back a note from Paul, and it said, Silas, Timothy, I want you to come here as soon as you can. What had happened? Paul was roaming around there, and he saw that everywhere there were altars and temples to all kinds of idols and gods, and he thought, boy, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Silas and Timothy, come on here. Let's start a church here. These people need Jesus.
Amen.
16. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens.
Now, he's waiting for them, but you know Paul doesn't waste any time.
His spirit was stirred in him. when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Everywhere he looked, he saw another idol. But you see, the United States of America, which was formed in Christian principles, we were dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, this land. Look at us, money, greed, fun, luxuries, all kinds of vacations. If it feels good, do it. Oh, my.
17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Judas.
Okay, that would be our brother Judas. Disputed, in other words, he's teaching them about Jesus, not arguing, but reasoning with them.
And with devout persons, and in the market daily.
Now notice, he would go in the synagogue and tell them of Jesus, that's one thing. Then when he'd meet somebody, he would tell them of Jesus, and go in the marketplace where people are working, tell them of Jesus. See, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You don't get a day off. Whether you're in church, whether you're in school, whether you're at work, whether you're at play, wherever you go, everybody, everywhere is your mission field. So you're to go and tell. You don't get a break. You're an ambassador for Jesus. You're to tell the story of Jesus to everybody you meet, everywhere you go.
Amen.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. With them that met with him. 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him.
Now, in Athens, Greece, they had these philosophers. They were very intellectual. They would think and think and think and think. All right? They loved art. They loved poetry. They loved classical literature. They loved great music. They loved Shakespeare, that kind of a thing. And so they were divided into two groups, the Epicureans and the Stoics. Now, the Epicureans of them believed that you avoid pain at any cost. Just don't let anything hurt you. In other words, just don't go to pain. Have all the fun you can. They just said in life, just everything, if it feels good, do it. Because they did not believe there was life after death. So in other words, this is it. So if it feels good, do it and then die and be done with it. Now the Stoics were different. They also believed there was no life after death, but they saw life is hard, then you die. So they had a stern face. They said, I'm not going to feel anything. I'm not going to feel emotion. I'm not going to feel love. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to just be like this, and I'm going to get through it. I'm going to die and be done with it. You see, they all needed Jesus to fill the hole in their soul.
Amen.
But look at America. If it feels good, do it. And look at some of you on your jobs. Your boss says you must never show emotion. Look at them on the news. I mean, they can beat you up and spit all over you. You're just standing there like this. Epicureans and Stoics are flooding America.
Amen.
Got a hole in your soul, America?
Amen.
And some said, what will this babbler say?
Now, they were not insulting Paul. Babbler in the Greek means a seed picker, like a bird picks a seed. But what it meant, they were used to people coming and say, now this writer said, and this book said, and this man said, you know how in our church today, she said, he said, his book said, her book said. But see, Paul was not a babbler. He's not a seed picker.
Others, some, he seemed to be a set forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
But others said, no, I think he's got another God we never heard of. There's some kind of God, he says, Yeshua, Jesus, that this Jesus raised from the dead. I don't think he's a seed picker.
19. And they took it and brought him unto Areopagus.
That would be Mars Hill.
Saying, may we know what this new doctrine thou speakest of is? 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears.
Will you tell us of your teaching? We want to hear this.
We would know, therefore, what these things mean.
They had such a hole in their soul. You can tell they're seeking God. I mean, do you know something we don't know? Do you know God?
21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there speak all time and nothing else, but either to tell or hear some new thing.
In other words, they had no hope, just have fun, that's it, or just be stoic, be stern, be disciplined, be cynical, that's it. So they said, maybe somebody's got a new thing. You know, that's not bad, because if you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him.
Amen. 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill.
There's a college in Mars Hill, North Carolina. I almost went there. Another story for another time.
And said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious.
The word superstitious here in the Greek means you're too religious. Now understand, a lot of people are religious, but that doesn't mean they're saved or that they know God. A lot of Christians are religious, but they're not really Christians. In other words, you can go to church, hold your Bible, and look really holy, but see, Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is a reality. Jesus is alive. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is alive in you.
Amen.
But see, you're religious. I mean, you're trying to, oh, this is God, this is God, this is God. If I do this, if I pray this way, if I sing this way. Oh, no, no. They were religious, but they didn't know God.
23. For as I passed by, beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God.
Now, Paul saw his chance there. They believe there's some kind of God somewhere that we never knew.
Who therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
Paul says, I know him. I'll tell you about him. Some years ago in my school in Cocoa, my telephone was in trouble, so the repairman came, and he was fixing the phone. I sat quietly. He did not tell me, I had never met him, that he had just gone through some very bad news. Something horrible had happened in his family. But on my wall was filled with the Word of God and all kind of good things about God. I watched him. He was reading that, trying to fix the phone at the same time. He turned around and looked at me, risking being professional, and said, do you know how to get in touch with God? I said, yes, I do. Would you like for me to get in touch with God for you? May I pray for you? All right, see, that wasn't pride in me. See, I don't know about God. If you're a Christian, it's not about God. It's God. My sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice. It's personal. It's intimate. He speaks to you and you know it. And you talk to him and he talks back to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is not a religion. He's a reality.
Yeah.
He lives. He lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, who dwelleth not in temples made with hands. 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything.
God doesn't need anything. You're trying to make little altars to him.
Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth.
Now the word blood there is an incorrect translation. The word in the Greek, is clay, C-L-A-Y. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, God needed a farmer to till the soil, a man with a pedigree through whom Jesus would come. So he created Eth Ha'adam, a specific man, Adam. But now while we are all spirit, he needed a body. So God took clay and formed the man Adam, a body out of clay. Now back in Genesis chapter 1 verse 6, we have another word, Adam, but this is plural. Male and female made he them. That Adam is not married to Eve. That Adam in the Hebrew is humankind, mankind in general. What is that? Go to the mall. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And the last verse of Genesis chapter 1 says, God says it is very good. God made our clay all kind of beautiful colors. Why does he do that? Because God is an artist. And every color is so unique and so beautiful. And God is a beautiful artist. Now, we all know that Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, when we die, our spirit returns to God who gave it. We were with God in a spirit form before we came here, okay? And Peter says that's the world that then was, the first earth age. So, were we of different colors then? Well, we know that we know in the book of Ezekiel that Lucifer, before he sinned, walked among the stones of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Who are the stones? Peter says, you, Christian, are living stones. A stone is a gemstone or a jewel. God's jewels were there. Aren't jewels many colors?
Yes.
Malachi, God says, when I make up my jewels. So God, when he sent us out, let us make man in our image. He was talking to us. Let us make you like you look there. Okay, you little clay pot here, I am going to paint you ruby red. I'm going to paint you pearl white. I'm going to paint you onyx black. I'm going to paint you citron yellow. I'm going to paint you topaz brown. And so God made them all. It's a very, very beautiful. God is an artist. Now, so we were colorful then. We're jewels. He calls you jewels. Will we be colored in the great new heaven on earth? Absolutely. Revelation 21, God says, going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down. And look at the description. All the jewels are there. There we go again. Ruby red, pearl white, onyx black, citron yellow, topaz brown, and on it goes. And he loves all of his people. Now, all of God's races have a different blood, but we're all one blood if we're saved. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. But all of the races were at one time slaves. Because of Lucifer's rebellion in the world that then was, sin entered into the equation. So God sent us all out one time in the flesh, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So when the cute little baby you was born, there you were, all a slave to sin, and you were sentenced to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, paid your sin debt for you, and he set the captive free. Amen. Now, in the human form, almost ever since there's been civilization, there has been slavery. There's something about evil people that want to have power and own someone else. Now, we know that even in Abraham's time, there was slavery. We know that Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel, the 12 tribes, multitudes. Now, we know that the seed of Abraham, Jesus came through that. They were of the lineage of that man, Adam, Eth Ha'adam, in Genesis 2, not the six-day creation in Genesis 1. That word, Adam, in Genesis 2, means to show blood in the face of a ruddy complexion. In other words, light skin with, if you blush, you can see the blood there. You can see the rosy cheeks, understand? So with light skin. But for 400 years, the light skin, to show blood in the face, Israelites, were slaves to the dark skin in Egypt. But of course, God sent Moses and set them free. Now, the United States of America, before we were formed, we were beginning to face slavery. Abraham's seed, his great-grandson Joseph, two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were in Great Britain. But they began to have tyranny, and one wanted to have power over the other. So Manasseh broke off and founded these United States of America so we could be free, free at last. They set up a cross and dedicated this land to the glory of God the Father and the glory of his only begotten Son. We were free people. Now, our commerce was done in by ships, so some of the lighter-skinned people who could blush and show blood in the face, white people, went on the sea, and they went to places and found black men who sold their black brothers and black sisters as slaves to the white men. Both were wrong, those who sold and those who bought. But then slavery had entered into America. Lord, have mercy. We're all about Jesus. What shall we do? Well, God fixed it. He sent us Abraham Lincoln as our president. That, okay, he set the captive free, all right? He set us free. He set the slaves free. And did you know that many thousands of white people died trying to set the black people free? And so bit by bit, we were set free. Now, we look at America and we say, oh, my goodness, but are they still free? Now, wait just a minute. We elected two times a black president, Barack Hussein Obama, two times. His wife, Michelle Obama, is black, first lady. He elected two attorney generals, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch. He elected two black women, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, and great cabinets there. President George Walker Bush selected Condoleezza Rice, a black woman, beautiful, Secretary of State. We have Oprah Winfrey, a black woman, one of the richest people in the world. We have Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. Boy, is he a great man of God. Amen. Right there in our legislature. We have Herman Cain, who just went back to the devil, back to heaven, not the devil, went back to heaven. A great man of God, a CEO. Amen. And then we have Dr. Ben Carson. In other words, he's a great brain surgeon. He's in President Trump's cabinet. So you see, we have so many opportunities. Now we have Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter. Black lives matter, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, all lives matter. But is this about prejudice? Is this about racism? No, they're making you believe they're doing this to protest George Floyd's death. Not at all. Find on your webpage Black Lives Matter. You'll find they are an organization openly Marxist. Their whole goal is to tear down the foundation, like those people did in our lesson tonight, destroy everything good about America, and take over and make all of us, red, yellow, brown, black, and white in America, their slaves. Do you understand? Yes. In other words, they plan to do this. Now, why are they causing all of these riots, burning down our Bibles and our churches and businesses to divide us? Because their motto is, united we stand, but divided they fall. If they can get us fighting each other because of our different color of our skin, then they can take over and make us all slaves. Amen. We just had two presidential conventions. We had the Democratic Socialists. They're admitting they're socialists. Socialists are communists and communists are Marxists. Every speaker almost looked at us and said, you are bad, America. You are racist. Hate, 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 hate. And that felt badly. But then we had the Republican, and we had black people say, President Trump got us out of prison. President Trump got us a job. Love, 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 love. So see, the whole purpose of all of this exploitation, this rioting, is to divide us, to make us hate one another. But listen to me, America. As a general rule, we are not a racist country. I know there is a rotten apple in most barrels. Now we know that most parents love their children. But recently there was a couple, a man and woman. They had a whole passel of children from about 1 year old to 19. They never let them leave the house. They chained them in their bed for all those years. They let them have one bath a year, but one finally escaped. Now, does that mean that all parents are bad? No, most parents are good. You love your children. Many of you go to doctors. Most doctors try to save your life. We recently heard of a doctor who enjoyed, he was sadistic, he tried to kill every patient he had. Do you stop going to doctors? No, that's just the rotten apple. But he's not a bad doctor, do you understand? And so we have it. Now, sometimes we see a white policeman kill a black man. That's not good. But are all policemen bad? No. I've taught black policemen. I've taught white policemen. Most of them love God very much, and they're really dedicated to their work. And they don't get much salary, so we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So you see, on and on we could say that. But sometimes we see a black man walk across the street and kill a little five-year-old white boy on a tricycle. Does that make all black men bad? No. Some of my best friends have been black men. And so you see, we are not a racist country. This is a myth. They're trying to divide us. So, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, Americans in the United States of America. Let us all come together now and do 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people call by my name. Who are you? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white in America. Let us humble ourselves. Let us pray. Let us seek God's face and not his hand. Let us turn from our wicked ways. Let us repent of our sins. And let us make Jesus the Lord of America and the Bible the book. Amen. And then America will always be free. We will never be slaves again. Amen. And all the races in America will be free because Jesus came and set us free. Amen. Now you have heard the truth, and the truth makes you free. Amen. God bless you. We'll start right there next time. Amen. I pray you are blessed. Amen. Now let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. Awesome message today.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
Amen.
Genesis 1:31.
Very good. Very good.
Amen.
See, everybody's beautiful. Everybody's beautiful. Yeah. You know, we just respect each other. It's so beautiful. And yet, we're all covered with the one blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Scott. That's perfect.
Amen.
I'm going to pray for the sick in a moment, but let me pray for anyone who's lost. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen. Amen. Now, for those of you who prayed that and meant it, in a little bit, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. You need to tell someone. Confession is made to salvation. I invite you to call me and tell me and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Today, I'm going to ask the Lord to remove all kinds of infections. Now, the Bible says that if you fear his name, that means you love him, you worship him, his name is called the Word of God, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask that for everyone right now who reveres your name, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings, the wings, the laser beams of Jesus Christ healing virtue. Push out the infection in the left lung. Push out the infection in the right lung. In the name of Jesus, infection in the colon, be gone in Jesus' name. Infection in the bladder, be gone in Jesus' name. Infection in the kidneys, right and left, be gone in Jesus' name. Infection in the gums, be gone in Jesus' name. Infection in the eyes, be gone in Jesus' name. And now I ask, O Son of Righteousness, go in there, pour in the oil and wine, and heal. He sent his word and healed you, relieves you from all distress, comforts you on every side, restores healing to you, and heals you of your wounds. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Now, any of those of you who received that wonderful miracle, you might like to tell me that also. You're welcome to call me and leave that also on my voicemail. Nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell. Just like Paul, wherever you go, everybody's your mission field. Everybody you meet, you need to tell them. You need to help them. So you want to do that. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you. And I especially love you because you love the one I love so much, the Lord that has overwhelmingly touched my life and made something beautiful out of a broken little crippled bird like me. And he'll do the same thing for you. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
God bless you. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America, that there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that any more traitors around him trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. Let that all of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh, God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask you that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always. And I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask a thing. We thank you. We love you. God save America. And God bless America. And may America bless God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth. God bless you.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Yeah. little bit painful. Working through, confronting my issues. But I'm finding freedom and letting go. Cause you've been laying a foundation of truth and grace, and my life is changing. So thankful that I'm not defined by my human side. No, I found my identity in the one who holds my destiny. Cause you've been laying a foundation of truth and grace, and my life is changed.
Obedience of my hands.
seems not up here before life alone. Faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done. No more my God. No more my God. No more my God. I boast no
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
When I'm alone with you, Lord, my troubles seem to disappear, and the peace that comforts me always comes when you are near, and the tears just fill my eyes when I stand in your presence, and your overwhelming mercy brings life to me. 'Cause your love's too much for my heart to contain, joy too much when my feet won't refrain. Your touch has made me never be the same again. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof, tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand, feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof, tell soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand, it's like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance. When I think about the ways that you have blessed my life, I sing a song of praise, thankful tears fill my eyes. 'Cause your love's too much for my heart to contain, joy too much when my feet won't refrain. Your touch has made me never be the same again. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof, tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand, feels like an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance like the rain on the roof, tell my soul that the spirit's on the loose. Don't know if anyone will understand, I know an angel's got a hold of my hand. So I'll dance, I will dance with you there to guide me, you right.
beside me. I want to